We're back again to puzzle out another scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books.
And I'm Don Wooten. Our guest today is Deirdre Brennan, the person who heads up Rails. No, it's nothing to do with trains, but the State of Illinois Library System. Afterward, Garrison Keillor will join us for the Writer's Almanac on Scribble. And first thing we'll do is say hello to Deirdre. It's nice of you to make the trip. I didn't realize how far away you are.
It's very nice to be here, and I have had the opportunity to visit a couple of our member libraries in the area, so it's a great trip.
You're going to have to explain Rails. It's been a long time since I've talked to anybody in the library system, and I don't recognize anything.
Okay. Well, it's kind of a long story, so I'll make it as short as I can.
We have time here.
Okay. First of all, I have to say that Illinois was the first state in the U.S. to establish library systems. It was actually 50 years ago this year, and it was the Library System Act was passed by the legislature, and we established, I think, 18 systems at the time. Over the years, and they're state-funded. Over the years, the funding has dwindled, times have changed, and now there are three library systems left. So Rails is the product of a merger of five previous library systems. There is another system in the south of Illinois called the Heartland Library System. That's a merger of four systems. And then there is the Chicago Public Library System. And what we do is we provide support for the shared catalogs of local libraries, like Rivershare. I think you guys live in Moline or Rock Island or some library. Mm-hmm. Nearby, we provide support for delivery amongst those libraries. We have an e-read project. We provide e-books to all of our members and to the end user through those libraries. So we do. We provide services to libraries and librarians. Our job is to make it easier, and to make the job of local libraries easier in providing the best service to their customers.
I suppose one of the big things is local libraries don't have to have all the books.
That's absolutely true. Local libraries can't have all the books. So we help them share resources. That's job number one, sharing resources, because by sharing, you provide more access and, it benefits everyone.
So do you do things like suggesting to a library that you get this book and another library you get that book so there isn't duplication? Or how much do you interfere with what a local library decides to do?
I think it's cooperate.
Excuse me. Well,
we don't interfere. And because the thing is, local libraries need to serve their local communities first, because they are funded, through tax dollars, obviously, property taxes. But when you do have a shared catalog, what happens is libraries they end up having multiple copies of the most popular things, and so it helps. One library doesn't have to buy, as many copies of The Hunger Games, because they could share amongst each other.
Mm-hmm. But there are some books that you have to go to the state library for, aren't there?
Less and less often, because there are so many, there's so much sharing going on that we were just discussing yesterday, as a matter of fact, that these consortia that I was talking about, they actually generally provide over 90% of what it is that people are looking for and, borrowing, mm-hmm. between 90 and 95%. So it's rare that you have to go outside, either to a library out of state or to a special library. Most people's needs are met through these shared catalogs.
Mm-hmm. How has the internet cut into the library?
Well, it certainly changed reference work a lot. It used to be that, you know, back when I was a reference librarian, you had to use the reader's guide and you had to rely on encyclopedias, et cetera, for a lot of your information. The internet has certainly made the updating of information and get the access to current information, incredibly better. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you'd be surprised at how many people don't have computers, at how many people don't have internet access at home. And so the internet has actually brought people to the library as well. So it's a big business for us. We provide, wireless in most of our buildings, laptops, PCs, access to all kinds of databases that people can't afford to buy on their own. So it has certainly changed our business, but it hasn't diminished it in any way.
I keep thinking about looking at things like city directories. When I first came up to the Quad Cities in 1946, I look around, I don't recognize a lot, and I want to go back and look at a city directory. But you're finding even that is a little bit in short supply. You hear stories of libraries getting rid of books, which sends a shudder through you, because I cannot dispose of a book. I've tried, but I just can't do it. It's just, you have one of my books, I think.
Well, you keep foisting books off on me, yes.
Yeah, I see. I didn't mean for you to keep them rolled. But the whole business of deacquisition, do you get involved in that?
Well, not anymore. I did when I was a library director in Oak Park, and before that when I worked in Massachusetts for a lot of years, and I worked at the Boston Public Library, among others. But I love books myself, but I do take a more practical point of view about them. I think, to me, in many ways, they are one of the library's products. They are a commodity, kind of, and if they're not, they're out of date. If you have a history of the Soviet Union, it can certainly provide you certain, kinds of information about the Soviet Union, but it's not an up-to-date view of what the world is like in Europe anymore. And if people don't want to read a certain book anymore and you are still keeping it on your shelf, that's costing the library money. It's, money to store it, money to shelve it, or, keep it on the shelf. And, since we're supported by tax dollars, libraries, our main job is to provide what it is that the community wants. Mm-hmm. And if they don't want certain things anymore, then we have to deaccession.
Do you ever get a call, let's say, from a local library like Moline's or Rock Island's, and with somebody saying, help? Or
yes, we get calls for help. Absolutely.
About what kinds of things?
Well, Rails provides a lot of training and consulting services, actually. We provide access to information about, how to build a building, how to do collection development. We provide HR consulting. We provide information to libraries in how to, as I say, how to, run their libraries in the best possible way. We provide a lot of information on new things that are happening, trends. For example, we just gave out grants this past summer in to help libraries digitize some of their rare materials. Don't recall if libraries in this, a specific area took part, but for example, Galena got a grant to preserve some of their historic materials. So that's big business for us right now. Training on e-books, how to use e-books. We have a big e-book collection that was funded through a state grant from the Secretary of State's office, almost $1 million. And we have bought, I think it's close to 20,000 e-books now that are available to all of our members if they elect to participate, and therefore to all of the, users of those libraries. And we do have over 1,300 member libraries of all types.
One of the big things that pops up from time to time is the subject of censorship. Is everything available? Are there some things that are not available in libraries?
Well, there are some things that aren't available for reasons that don't have anything to do with censorship. There are some things that publishers don't sell to libraries or won't license to libraries.
Why is that?
Well, because they... Well, that's a very complicated question. But essentially, there's a kind of a misunderstanding about amongst publishers. I think it's getting. I think it's getting better, but it comes up a lot with e-content. They don't. They're afraid that we're going to share it, share the e-content too widely, and so that that will cut into their sales of content like e-books. So there are some, you know, proprietary databases that, you know, some libraries can't afford, some law databases that are very expensive. So I don't know, you know, censorship. I mean, I guess I think that again is a local, you know, community issue. It comes up from time to time related to certain books. I think, you know, one of our most important professional ethics is that we don't censor, that there's, and as a former colleague of mine once said, that there should be something to offend everyone in a library, and if there isn't, then you're not doing your job. And I think that's absolutely true. I think that is our job, is to be sure that we bring a balanced perspective and don't make value judgments.
Do you still use libraries tweets?
I still do, yes. Uh-huh. Yes. But not to study in it. They're too quiet. Although even that's changing now. You know, the library has a little bit more noise than the Augustana Library is a good example. I mean, libraries used to be shh, 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 and that's no longer true.
Deirdre, how did you get into this profession? What led you to library science?
Well, I have to confess, it was sort of an accident.
Most good things in life are accidents. I'll give you that.
I always loved to read. My father always took me to the library on a very regular basis. When I got out of college, having been a history major, I knew that I didn't want to teach, and I didn't think I wanted to be a lawyer or go to business school. And I had a relative who was a librarian, so I thought, well, that sounds pretty interesting. And it has been a fabulous career. I've worked in many different types of libraries and systems. Public library is my favorite because you have such a direct connection to your community, to the people you serve. They come in every day. You see the kids come in and grow up, and you see how they use the library differently. And you're basically, you know, I feel like it's kind of a public trust. They pay they pay for the library, they pay your salary, and they trust you to do what's best for the community. And it's just been a fabulous career.
One of the sights in the library that has always moved me is when I see a person who is obviously poor in the reference room reading the newspaper. And I think that's great. You know, everyone should have access to everything. And the whole business, there's a thing about taxes, you know. I don't want to pay taxes because it doesn't benefit me. Yes, it does. And besides, that's the wrong question. I mean, who benefits? We are all in this together, and some of us are better able to support those who can't. And we are a better society and country if everyone has a chance to read, to form an independent mind. And that's a really good thing. So what library did you start in?
In my work life, you mean? I started actually at the Environmental Protection Agency, regional library in Boston. That was my first job.
That was a specialized library.
That was a special library. And then I worked at Northeastern University Law Library. And then eventually I did make my way into a public library on the North Shore of Boston called the Beverly Public Library. And I was a director at various libraries in Massachusetts before I went to work at the Boston Public Library as a deputy director for public service.
What drew you to Illinois? Is this a career advancement or what?
No, sort of family reasons. And I came out to, and I, I came to work at the and was the director at the Oak Park Public Library for 6.5 years before I came to Rails.
Mm-hmm. And what does Rails stand for?
It stands for the Reaching Across Illinois Library System.
Mm-hmm. And how many people are on your staff? I mean, how many are actually working in Rails?
We have about 100 staff members, and some of the a fairly sizable chunk of those people work in delivery services. There actually are trucks that are driven around by people of all of the books that are being shared amongst libraries throughout Rails, millions of items, not just books, of CDs and DVDs. We also do employ the staff that manage the shared catalogs. And then one of our other very important services is the Illinois Talking Book Outreach Center. We provide services to the blind and physically handicapped. And that's a hugely important service for people who love to read but, you know, can no longer or,
so those,
or can't.
So those books are delivered in your own trucks?
Mm-hmm, for the most part.
Wow.
Yeah, some of them is outsourced to, you know, delivery
right.
contractors, but it's still our funding.
Mm-hmm. That's quite a range of services.
Yes, it is.
It's impressed me over time. Libraries expanded to include vinyl records, then CDs, then DVDs. Now you provide computers. I can't find the card catalog anymore.
It's probably a piece of furniture, an end table in somebody's living room right now, right?
Yeah. Oh, I miss the card catalog. I mean, I found more stuff by accident. And I don't know the computer well enough to find things by accident. So,
well, if you go to your local library, I bet they could help you find things by accident.
Oh, I suppose they could.
One of the I did a column not long ago, and I mentioned a quote from somebody who said you can get 100,000 answers on the internet, but you can get a right one from the library.
Right. Right. Yes, we do believe in accuracy.
Yeah, that's and the internet is not noted for accuracy. You can find anything on there, from facts to bilge. It's just amazing.
And lots of opinions.
And the future, you know, you talk about funding. Are they continuing to trim?
Yes, of course, Illinois is, as we all know, I think not in the best of shape right now financially. But we... you know, we didn't fare too badly in the governor's proposed budget. We'll see what comes, you know, what ends up as the budget. I would say that over the years we've been trimmed, and while we would certainly have not had that happen, we always find ways to do a lot with not very little or with not enough, and we will continue to do that because we're very dedicated to serving the public.
Well, Deirdre, we're really grateful to you for taking the time.
It's my pleasure.
And traveling the distance to be with you. She heads up the Rails, the Reading Across Illinois.
Reaching Across
Illinois Library System that binds together roughly a third of the state. Well, almost more than a half. Less than a... Oh, well, look at a map sometime. Right now, we're going to stop talking and do a little listening because we have Garrison Keillor with the Writer's Almanac.